hear God's word. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, we come to this portion of John's gospel in which Jesus continues what he has been doing in these last days of his ministry before he would go to the cross and would be taken from his disciples. Because he was leaving his disciples, they needed comfort. And in this passage, he speaks of a great comfort that he indicates will come to them. The comfort of another comforter, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he says, you will not be alone. He was going to be leaving them very shortly, but he underscores in this passage, you will not be alone. You will have another comforter. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And just like Jesus, he is another of the same kind. That is, he is one with God. He is God. What Jesus is saying about another comforter is that he is going to be just like Jesus. Another way to understand that would be an example. If I were to bring apples for everybody and hand them out today, but I was unable to get enough Jonathan apples, maybe there would have been some golden delicious apples, and the Jonathan apples would have been there, and the golden delicious apples would be there, but they would have been different. But Jesus says, this is going to be another comforter, not another comforter in terms of one who is completely different, but one who is another helper. He is underscoring the fact that he will be one just like Jesus. And if Jesus is a person, the Holy Spirit must also be a person. And for the same reason, if Jesus is divine, the Spirit must also be divine. And that's taught all throughout the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. When you go through Scripture, you will find that the Holy Spirit is given divine names. Divine attributes are ascribed to the Holy Spirit, such as eternity, omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. And the divine works that are predicated of him are found all throughout the Scripture. And all of those things tell us that the Holy Spirit is a divine being. And this is what Jesus promises. The Holy Spirit will come and he will dwell with you. And he will be your comforter. And the word comfort here, comforter, that is used here is that word that comes to us from the Old English word. And it really doesn't do justice to the Greek word that is behind it, the Greek word parakletos. But the Greek word simply means someone who comes alongside of another person as that person's helper. And that's what Jesus is saying in this passage. He's saying the Father and the Son call the Spirit to the side of the disciples in order to do what? To comfort them, to be their comforter, to admonish, to teach them, to guide them. In other words, in order that in any given condition, the Paraclete may furnish whatever help is necessary. So perhaps the best translation for our word here would be the term helper. Another helper will come. And the sense is that instead of becoming poorer, you know, the disciples would think Jesus is leaving us. What are we going to do? You know, they're going to be without their comforter. He is going to be gone. He is going to be crucified. His death would mean that they would be without one present with them. But when Jesus says, I will send you another helper, that helper will come, but that helper will be the one who will be with you. He will be the one who is with you in every circumstance whatsoever. And while I am leaving, this helper will always be with you. Jesus is the one who is the disciples' helper, but another helper will come. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one who is the one that stands alongside of and dwells within his disciples, the one who brings them the comfort that only God can give, because he is God. And the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit are working together to comfort the disciples, to comfort us. What should trouble us then? Nothing, because we have the comfort of Jesus and the Spirit present with us. The disciples could be comforted by Jesus because they could tell Jesus all of their troubles. They could confide in him. They could look to him. Where would they look now? Jesus says, another comforter is coming. The comforter that he is sending. The comforter who will seal them to himself. And the Spirit of God is that great comforter who comes to dwell among God's people. He is personally present with you as a child of God today. He is dwelling within you. God choosing to live within us. God takes up residence with us and dwells in us. We are, as the scripture says, his temple, his building. What do you have a building for? What do you have a temple for? What do you have a barn for? You have a barn and a building and a temple for something. What is that something? To live in, to dwell in, to have all of the things that you need. And Jesus uses these terms, scripture uses these terms, temple and building, to emphasize that indwelling presence of God in our lives. And that presence is to bring comfort to us. What comfort it should be to us. Notice in this passage, and as I read it, it sort of stuck out in my mind. It said, I will not leave you, verse 18 says, as orphans. You know, a week or so ago, I got an email from one of my brothers, and he says, fellow orphans. You know, we lost our mom, so I guess mom and dad are gone. We're orphaned. It was sort of funny. But what we find here in Jesus' terminology, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Well, if you're not an orphan, what are you? Well, scripture tells us you're a member of God's family. You're given a royal position as a child of God. You are a child of God by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So much so that Jesus says, when you pray, how do you pray? Our Heavenly Father. He's our Heavenly Father. We're his children. We are God's. We are his forever. And because of his great promise to us in Scripture, we know that he will never, ever leave us. let us go. And that comforting power is the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And verses 12 through 15 speak of that in the mighty things that Jesus says we will be able to do. He says, you will be able to do great things. Well, what great things will we do? I don't think any one of us will, you know, stop the car along the Calumet, not the Calumet River, what's the other river up here? Kankakee River. Pull over, stop the car, and say to the Kankakee River, divide, I want to walk through you. No, that's not what we're going to do. What great things would we be able to do? Well, the great things that we are doing is primarily the universal preaching of the gospel, because the great things are the things that take place when the gospel is proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to transform people by that great grace and bring them into the kingdom of God. And many are converted through the gospel by the preaching of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And the great works may also refer to works of compassion and healing, not necessarily supernatural, but works that are mighty and glorious. The church reaches out in love and in the love of Jesus Christ, and it reaches out with compassion. We might provide something for someone who needs something, someone who needs clothing, someone who needs healing. They might be able to receive from the church the ability to purchase something that might be able to meet their needs. We can do all kinds of things, great things, and Jesus says you'll do them in his name. We can go to places like Nepal, to the Nigeria. We can go to all places of this earth and bring to the people of these far out places throughout the world the message of the power and the glory of God in Jesus' name. And that's what Jesus says here. If you do it in his name, he will do it. And when we plead for these things, we plead them not on the basis of a prayer that we conjure up in terms of, you know, what's the best thing that we can ask for? How can we ask so that God will give this to us? No, we ask for it on the basis of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God looks beyond us and sees Jesus. God grants the petition for the sake of his blessed Son, in whom we come when we come to the throne of grace. It means that we pray for what is according to the perfection and the glory of God. And when we do it in Christ's name, he is the one who will answer those prayers, and he will answer it according to his word. And all of this, Jesus says, glorifies his Father. It glorifies God, and that's why he tells us to do this. He wants us to glorify God as well. Do you wish to glorify God? Do you wish to glorify him in all that you do? Do your prayers go to God with the desire to glorify God, not just to have him fill our requests, but that God might be glorified in what we ask. And that same glory that Jesus demonstrated in his earthly ministry is the glory that's made known through his powerful answers to our prayers. And that same power that flowed through Jesus dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. The same wisdom that brought healing to fragmented relationships is operable in us. The same miraculous love that brought life to impossible situations resides in us through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have another comforter, God the Spirit, who dwells within us. Let us give thanks that we have such a great God, and let us glorify him in all that we do. Amen.